Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is, wow, Motivating Monday, Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True, and the Veterans Day weekend is not over. This is the federal holiday, Veterans Day, so there's a lot of celebrations going on and on. And check out your local areas, because I know I just seen on our local news here in Jackson, Mississippi, where federal parks will have free admission. And I know Vicksburg isn't far from Jackson, and Vicksburg there will be many events going on, and the different parks will have free admission. So check out your local areas also where there are historic parks, veteran parks, and see what's going on, okay? But again, Thank you. Thank you for your support, and thank you for joining me, if only for a few minutes, as you sip your coffee and prepare for work or for the entire live broadcast, okay? I really appreciate you. I hope those of you that were able to tune in to Saturday night's show, as I talked with the awesome True God Immortal, who also co-hosts this Wrestling Heads here on blogtalkradio.com, and will be premiering a future show of his own also in the near future, because we had a blast of a good time, a super-duper party Saturday night. Man, it was such an amazing, great time. And thank you, True God, for spending 2.5 hours with us. It was fun.
Oh, beautiful and poison whore, by terror you do reign. For war and oil you destroy, and all done in God's name.
God bless America, America the Beautiful. That's UK's imprint. You can check more of her work out at ReverbNation.com. Imprint, I-M-P-R-I-N-T. You know, I start playing her version on 4th of July, and it's so beautiful. I'm reading headlines right now. Bay News, Veterans Day ceremonies continue today in the Bay Area. Seattle Post-Intelligence, Veterans Day Peace Garden ceremony planned in New York. So Veterans Day events, I mean, this has been a long Veterans Day weekend, beginning with a lot of celebrations last week, you know, Thursdays and Fridays, and some might have started midweek and a week ago, but it's been an amazing 4 weeks, such an amazing and so important patriotic holiday. Yes, it is.
Oh,
instrumental of Austin Brown's Ménage à Trois. Wow, wow, wow. Before that, I'll Be Sure. And before that, Andre Simone, America, celebrating every day of being a proud American. And those of you that are internationally, we thank you for loving America also. And just, you know, love that song. Hey, James Meredith, who integrated into Ole Miss, my friend, fellow Republican, he and Mr. Evers love them some Obama. They vote for Obama. James Meredith is very troubled by what happened. Y'all, if you listen to the show Friday, you heard Ridgewood, Nick and I talk about the protests that happened at Ole Miss. And that is the school that James Meredith integrated 50 years ago. You know, a lot of times I ask you all to Google his name if you don't know who he is. And I had seen him on the news earlier this morning on WLBT at a book signing where he was questioned about his thoughts regarding the protest. And right now I'm checking out NOLA.com, the newspaper for New Orleans, the Times-Picayune Greater New Orleans area. And they published an article where the headline reads, James Meredith, man who integrated Ole Miss, troubled by Obama protest. This is the Associated Press. Based in St. Louis, Mississippi, the man who integrated the University of Mississippi says he's troubled and confused by the protests there against President Barack Obama's reelection. But James Meredith tells WLOX-TV students shouldn't get sidetracked by what he calls nonsense and foolishness. The protests late Tuesday grew into a crowd of about 400 people as rumors of a riot spread on social media. Some people shouted racial slurs. Others yelled, the school cheered and hidey-tidy. Meredith's admission sparked riots that he had to be quelled by the military and the police. Meredith said Saturday that he was cursed every day he attended Ole Miss, but he paid it no attention. He says that if he had a fight, it was with state leaders who created unjust policies. Police at the University of Mississippi say they have turned over the FBI information regarding vandalism apparently aimed at an African-American freshman. We are presently presenting everything we have about this case to them, University Police Chief Kevin Sellers said in the Oxford Eagle. They will investigate to see if this is a hate crime or civil rights violation. The university said Jamal Woods notified an instructor in August that a racial slur had been written on his dormitory room door. The Clarion Ledger reports that residence hall officials confirmed the slur and streaks of lotion were found on Woods' door. The student was moved to another dorm where no problems were reported until November 5th when his pickup truck was vandalized. News of the investigation follows a protest against the re-election of President Obama earlier this week during which some people at the school shouted racial slurs. Two people were arrested on minor charges. The Graduate Student Council at Ole Miss is putting together a panel discussion November 22nd at the Overby Center on campus that will examine the perception and reality of the protest event. And then the woman that got in trouble for making a very, very distasteful comment regarding Obama's reelection that got fired. And it surprises me that she was surprised that she got fired and that such so much of an uproar was caused from her comment alone. So that's wild. I'm telling you, there are extremists on both sides, and neither parties and the independent third parties, you know, just can't take it. We all have to come together and pray for one another and not exhibit such crazy stuff, you know. I'm one that have stalkers and have to nip cyber bullies in the bud and sometimes get mean. I get mean comments from non-Republicans, you know, people who say crazy things to me on Facebook or treat me certain ways sometimes in public, you know, or get stalked sometimes. But, you know, I take everything seriously. Everything seriously, you know, really. Everything. My Facebook page, those of you who don't know, Facebook monitors my page. There's law enforcement all over my page, you know, and my friends and I, we have each other's backs when we see suspicious activity. on one another's pages, we quickly, because sometimes I don't notice some things, and sometimes friends of mine will say, did you notice that? You know, so it's good to have one another's backs also. Sometimes you don't see stuff. So, you know, people be friendly. It's all about effectively networking in person and throughout social media and so on. I know we express ourselves as Freedom of America, but there's some things that can really get you in trouble, really. So, you know, you have to think before you. We do. I even have to think before I tweet or speak. You know, really we do. So, I don't know. Who am I? Right? There's some of you saying, right, who are you? But I'm just saying. So, happy birthday. Today is your birthday also. This is a fun day. Today we're talking about, entertainment news and lifestyle news. And, of course, we're going to talk about health and fitness and walking and so on. Well, I'm feeling good. I had my physical exam was going to be scheduled for tomorrow, but I had to reschedule it for after the beginning of the year. And I think it was a blessing in disguise, you know. My budget wasn't looking right, but I did not want to cancel or reschedule my appointment, not at all, you know, because I've put it off long enough. But I think it's a blessing in disguise pretty much because I stick to doing what I'm doing. I should pretty much have the LBs off or near having those LBs off by the time of my schedule, my new schedule exam. And I'm just going to stick to my doctor's advice and nurse's advice and living healthier and happier, do my best to live happier and healthier, you know, resuming healthy habits that I had put on the back burner, learning healthy habits, listening to my coaches and my personal trainers and praying. And praying, you know, there are like Bible verse-based ways. There's ways that, you know, praying helps and just supporting friends. I mean, just eating healthy, regardless of needing to gain weight or maintain your weight or lose weight. We all need to eat healthier. I've said it before, I know people that lose weight so they can eat during this holiday season, you know, so they won't have extra pounds. Let me lose some pounds so I can just eat up like crazy. So I hope you all are doing good, you know, regarding all that. So I'm still on that best chubby to fit journey, and it's been a blast. It got scary one while because the pounds had started moving, then they stood still. So I haven't gotten back on the scale since September. I was planning on getting on the scale tomorrow if I had gone to my had kept my doctor's appointment. But I think I'm gonna wait a while. But I'm watching my body and seeing how it's transforming, and I'm loving it. And I hope you all are doing good too in all aspects. And shout out to my friends, some of my friends, former schoolmates and friends who I know listen to the show who are recovering. There's Derek LaFleur, who just had heart surgery. Listen, shout out and hugs and prayers to him and his wife and family and our fellow friends. And also there's Cedric Williams, who much love to he and his wife and his family also. He recently left the hospital. And he was rooting for his team, the 49ers, last night and all in good mood. Well, how about those Saints? I know. I hated to see the Falcons' perfect record break. That's the team. Mother was going for the Falcons. But who that talking about? Be no Saints. Who's that? And the Cowboys, they did their thing. And Houston Texans beat Chicago. Oh, my God. Actually went to Chicago and beat Chicago. That right there is unbelievable. But Houston Texans are a pretty good team. So, I don't know. But then also Chicago Bears are a good team also. So, you know, I just have to be quiet on that one, I guess. But I want to head on to the chat room in a few minutes also, and you can call in. But, of course, I love to share from a walk-off weight book and journal written by prevention.com, fitness director Michelle Stanton. And also the topic of this morning also would be the black elite, you know. And this is just a story conversation. So we can continue on talking about the black elite. You know, we always talk about the elite, but there's the black elite, which, you know, many of us are part of the black elite. I'm middle class, But I have family members that are Black elite. I have friends and colleagues and peers and supporters and so on that are members of the Black elite. You know, we all, that's what tickles me sometimes. If we had seen more of Mitt Romney's family, you know, people, because he's considered elite. Don't you know, the Romneys probably have, like, regular, everyday middle-class relatives also, you know? But really, now some say I have a privileged life, that I have lived privileged. You know, I'm struggling. I'm trying to get back to living a comfortable middle-class lifestyle. And but people tell me, well, you're privileged, you know? And, you know, and thank God that I don't deny that. Thank God that in some cases I am. So sometimes I don't feel like it. But, you know, people tell me, well, you live privileged, but really I'm struggling. But thank God if people think I'm privileged with certain situations or certain reasons or just favor of God, maybe it's just God's favor. You know, God blesses one to touch people. It's not about being privileged. It's that's favor of God, you know. But we'll talk about the Black elite. Feel free to call in to talk about the Black elite. But I'm just touching bases and starting a conversation because really, every once in a while you hear about the Black elite. You would hear news stories during Obama's campaign that, well, he met with the Black elite, you know, doing a fundraiser or this and that. But let's talk a little bit about the history of the Black elite. Okay. Did you on The View? Wow, Sherry Shepherd made a comment to, on air last week. She was watching the program, and she said her son was surprised to see a person of color on one program. And then they went on to talk about, like, when it seems like when people of color are non-existent but disappear. Because she said her son always points out when people of color, Black people, are not present. And then when they are present, you know, he 7-year-old acknowledges stuff like that. I just want to mention that while something is coming up. Celebrity birthdays. Today is Anne Hathaway's birthday. I do know this. And so today is your birthday. You're sharing a birthday with Anne Hathaway. And I was broadcasting on air, finishing up the show on Saturday night, but I was able to catch Rihanna and also Anne Hathaway. She tickled me. Oh, my God. When she was Katie Holmes, she had me falling out. And I was in Rihanna. She did a great job. I love me some Rihanna. She is amazing talent. What was I going to say? Oh, you all know the Biebs and Selena broke up about a week ago. Story broke on Saturday. I like that young couple. But they, you know, they're young, enjoying life. So, wow. So, Skyfall had a good weekend, huh? I want to see Flight. I want to see Skyfall. And definitely Lincoln. But, again, today, Anne Hathaway, here's my information. Anne Hathaway, she turns 30 years old today. And Norman Y. Mineta, former Secretary of Transportation, is 81. Wallace Shawn, actor, playwright, 69. Booker T. Jones, rock musician, Booker T. and the MGs, 68. Al Michaels, sportscaster, 68. Jack Reed, U.S. Senator, DRI, 63. Megan Mullally, I like her. Mullally, yeah. I liked her TV show when she had a TV show back like 3-4 years ago. Actress, Will and Grace, Nadia Comaneci, Olympic gold medal gymnast. Sammy Sosa, baseball player, 44. Rodha Mitchell, actress, 39. Ryan Gosling, actor, 32. He's only 32. Omarion, oh my God, he's only 28. I've been a big fan and supporter of his since way back in the day. Rock musician Neil Young turned 67 years old today. So happy birthday to you. And to our favorite celebrities also. And also on this day, Joseph Stalin became the undisputed ruler of the Soviet Union as Leon Trotsky was expelled from the Communist Party. 1920, just Kennesaw Mountain Landis was elected baseball's first commissioner. 1942, the World War II naval battle of Guadalcanal began. And in 1985, Javier Suarez was elected Miami's first Cuban-American mayor. 1999, President Bill Clinton signed a sweeping measure knocking down Depression-era barriers and allowing banks and investment firms and insurance companies to sell each other's products. 2001, an American Airlines flight crashed near New York's Kennedy Airport, killing 265 people. 2004, a jury convicted Scott Peterson of murdering his pregnant wife, oh, that was so sad, Lacey, and dumping her body in San Francisco Bay. Peterson was later sentenced to death. I think he's trying to appeal that case or something. 2009, Army psychiatrist Major Nadal Malik Hassan was charged with 13 counts of premeditated murder in Fort Hood, Texas massacre. 2011, Italian Premier Silvio Berlusconi resigned. In 2011, the Arab League voted to suspend Syria over the country's bloody crackdown on protesters. So that's some information in regards to today in history. And yesterday I shared articles and like YouTube videos that people had shared about talking about the Black Elite and so on. So we'll be talking about the Black Elite towards the end of the broadcast. Okay? But we need to talk about, well, a lot of things. Living healthy, the holiday season. Wow, I'm looking at information from Dine Wise, Home Bistro, prepared meals, and they have like awesome sales on turkeys and ham holiday specials and meals for one or for four or for many. So you all should check them out because it's a lot of information. Those of you that aren't cooking or just going to cook like part of your meal. That's how Mom and I do things. Mom's 81st birthday would be on Thanksgiving, on November the 22nd. And so we like order some, and we cook some also. so, you know, it should be fun. Kenny Chesney is performing at the Thanksgiving Dallas Cowboys game, so that should be a fun halftime show on Thanksgiving. Bart people. Oh, man, I think I have to share this from Sparks People. Since we're talking about staying on track or getting back in track. And, yeah, we're thinking about eating good, healthy food, but it's important for us to stay, you know, on track and have that right mindset like we were talking about a lot at the beginning of the year, the beginning of 2012. Yeah, it's time to talk about good food, but it's time to think about, you know, not going overboard also. Hey, guess, are you parents and those of you who love to buy for kids are going to love this. And many of you are eating early or skipping that second helping, as I heard a news story say earlier. Guess who else is opening at 8 p.m. on Thursday night? Toys R Us. For real. Instead of opening at midnight, they're going to join Walmart and Sears now and open at 8 p.m. on Thanksgiving night. So it's Black Thursday. Black Thursday is confirmed. so that's amazing. So here's something from Spark People, and it's 25 ways to get back on track today. Don't give up on your goals. And this is by Nicole Nichols, fitness instructor and health educator. And I'm tweeting it out and pinning it out and tumbling it out. Not long ago, you were energetic and determined to start your healthy lifestyle. Starting with enthusiasm and hope, you watched your food intake diligently, exercised like it was going out of style, and even avoided the temptation that seemed to lurk around every corner. You were confident then you were going to reach your goals once and for all. Then certain tragedies struck. You ate an extra piece of birthday cake. I know. Speaking of birthday cake, you all know I had a beautiful purple birthday cake I loved and devoured. Louisiana, my friend Nikki. Go holler at Nikki, too, you all, at Just Because. Like her Facebook page, her business Facebook page, Just Because. We're in her on Facebook, Nikki Roundtree. And Nikki gifted me a beautiful, tasty cheesecake, birthday cake, so delicious. But you all know I kept talking about the cake going straight to my thighs. You know, I've always loved my thighs, but that's something, that's some more good news. My thighs are slimming down, so I'm loving it. My back, my body is really transforming. So speaking of birthday cake, because it seemed like the extra cake I would eat would go back to my thighs, because my thighs are slimming down, but each time I would eat more birthday cake, it seemed like the cake would go to my thighs, but my thighs are on the right track now. Some of you might want to know. But back to this article. Realizing you have blown your diet, you ate another and another and couldn't get it together the next day either. Or worse, you missed one workout and that turned into a whole week away from the gym. After that, your momentum started over again, was gone, and your gym bag hasn't left the closet since. I was talking about on Facebook. I haven't been to the gym in a few weeks, so I need to head on back in that direction. But I have been exercising and working out. But, you know, some things, some spots don't get hit right unless you get on that elliptical machine or that stationary bike. You know what I'm saying? Every time you misstep on your healthy journey, you have two choices. To keep walking backwards, which will surely take you even further away from your goals, or to accept your lack of perfection as normal and forgivable, and take not one but two positive steps down the path that brings you closer to the future you want. If you're reading this, you might have been walking backwards for a while, but instead of waiting for the next day, week, month, or even year to unhaul your habit, start today and start small. Exactly. That's what when I really start seeing things happen, small efforts make a big difference. They add up like pennies and nickels. You can't go from the recliner to running or from burgers to Brussels sprouts in an afternoon, but you can do one, two, or even a handful of small things that will help you regain your momentum for healthy living. And again, I'm speaking from SparkPeople.com, 25 ways to get back on track today. I love SparkPeople.com. Okay, when you feel like getting back on track is overwhelming, try one or more of these small steps each day. One, try a short workout. Even 5 minutes is better than nothing. For ideas, browse SparkPeople.com video library or workout generator. And if you network with me, I'm always posting SparkPeople info and workout videos and healthy cooking videos and tips. And two, try a new recipe. Cooking healthy foods can be fun, and it never has to be bland. Three, eat a healthy breakfast. Your morning meal sets the stage for the rest of the day. So start it off right. Get lots of breakfast ideas here, also at SportPeople.com. Four, drink your water. Try to aim for 8 cups each day, and you will feel the difference. Five, look at motivational Spark pages. Seeing how others overcome similar struggles and obstacles can be a great source of motivation. Yes, because my Spark People coach, who also is an online coach and coach people in her area in Georgia, Christy Faulkner, she is an inspiration. She's lost, from January 2011, she's lost a lot of weight. I'm talking about like 130 pounds, for real. And she teaches people. She is a wonderful coach. Six, and then other people, just network with people, and you'll be amazed at the stories and the similarities and what others go through. I need to network a little bit more myself on Spark People in regards to that, looking at each different profile pages and becoming friends with more people so I can see more stories, more success stories regarding people, not just weight loss stories, but people that change their eating habits to live healthier lives. Six, track your food today. No matter how it adds up, you'll learn from it. Seven, update your Spark page. If you create a profile on SparkPeople.com, I am Dreamer Beth, okay? Update your Spark page. It's a visual way to track your ups and downs, but also your progress. Eight, share your goals, whether you post them on the message boards or share them with a friend, you'll be more accountable. Nine, exercise for 10 minutes, jump rope, march in place, or do some crunches. small amounts do add up to something big. Sign a buddy. Get support from friends, whether you need someone to listen or a mentor to give you ideas and encouragement. And I was shouting out and thanking my support system. Amazing support system. And, you know, it's real good. But there are the ones that say, well, yeah, when I see it, I believe it. But then there are the ones that are very supportive. 11, take a walk. Don't worry about how long or far you go. Just get out there. 12, create a motivational collage. Include pictures of your goal and reasons why you want to get there. 13, go shopping for some healthy foods using the list for ideas. 14, check the nutrition facts before you go out to eat. That way you can make an informed choice. 15, ride your bike. I want to get a bike. You know, because I've always loved bikes, and bike riding, too, helps a little. I mean, it helps that midsection, that waist. This is one reason why I used to keep my waist tight and right. Even a leisurely ride has benefits for your body and mind. 16, work in the yard. Oh, my God, that's no stranger to me. I love working in the yard. Gardening and yard work is a great way to add activity to your day. Most definitely. Yard work is exercise. I consider exercise fun, and I meditate, but it's exercise. Take the stairs. Even if this is the only thing you can do all day, you'll feel stronger for it. And then 18, rake up those smart points. You earn from them for every help test you do on the site. Talking about motivating, aim for a certain milestone, such as 100 points, and then reward yourself with a spark goodie. I need to start doing that. I have points, but I need to start, you know, rewarding myself and really being serious about it. Listen to an inspirational song. Better yet, make a playlist of them so you can learn to it whenever you need a boost. See, that's one reason why I like to play inspiring and motivating songs. Restart your Spark People program. Sometimes it's easy to get back on track when you have a clean slate. And 21, measure your portions. I've learned that too. Portion controls and not really getting that second helping when you don't need it. That goes a long way. That's me talking about the second helping. Measure your portions. It's a simple way to learn how much you're eating. Yeah, that's true, very true. You know, and you'll be amazed how you do fill up when you do pay attention to the portion controls. Getting stuff really isn't fun. It's very uncomfortable. 22, eat a piece of fruit. Even if 5 to 9 servings of fruit and vegetables are impossible to you, one is doable. And 23, slow down during meals. That's me. You'll be less likely to overeat and more likely to enjoy your meal. And 24, play. What kids call play, we often call exercise. Play a sport, a game, or use the playground equipment to bring fun back into fitness. And 25, learn something new. Sometimes simply take a quiz or read an article about nutrition, fitness, or health can change your mindset and get you back on track. In tennis, losing 1 point isn't the end of the world. It happens to the best of them. In fact, even you can consistently win a few more points that you lose. You may end up in the Hall of Fame with healthy eating and exercising. As long as you're consistently outstepping your steps back, you're ahead of the game. If you expect perfection, and many of us do, you're setting yourself up for disappointment and guilt. You can get back on track today. Even if you're moving slowly, you'll be moving in the right direction. So don't give up. Honestly, do not give up. I know. I can dig it. And one of my friends, one of my favorite Facebook BFFs the other day when I was talking yesterday about working out and exercising, staying focused. She was like, I wish I had to get up and go to exercise. I said, but once you do get that get up and go, you won't want to stop. So that's what having that mindset, the importance of having that mindset is good, you know, it's good to have for real. So I'm tweeting and tumbling, putting this article out on Tumblr and on Twitter and Pinterest and so on. So those of you that really want to check out these 25 tips, all on Twitter, it's on my Blog Talk Radio board on Pinterest, so you can't miss it because this is some awesome office information about 25 ways to get back on track that I just shared with you all. Amazing. So, wow. It's really neat. So I'm headed to the chat room. And if anyone is on hold on the switchboard, please be patient. because I have my big screen up on my computer. I was Santa Claus to bring me something from Guitar Center. I have pictures of everything on Twitter and Facebook. Santa. I hope you hear me, Santa. Okay, no one's on the switchboard, but I'm going to head on to the chat room and see who's in the chat room and all that good stuff. But again, I thank you for tuning in. Yeah, I know it's a lot of news going on. We were just wishing Petraeus a happy birthday last week, and wow, lo and behold, he's all over the news.
Gangnam Style. Heart exposed. and a love for clothes. For clothes, put the sign up, it's over. Come on. Ain't nobody home. That's what the sign says. No access tonight. You know nothing hurts as much as a love for clothes. Solitary tale of a broken heart exposed. Nothing hurts a man. another case of just another case of a
show, representing South Carolina. Check his music out. He and I began as networking on Reverb Nation. So check him out on ReverbNation.com, Six String Woody. And also he has a Facebook page, fan page. Like his fan page, Six String Woody. He and his band are awesome. Okay, this is an article that I read a couple of years ago, and it was published a couple of years ago, of course, back in February 25th, 2010. When I first premiered the show, Coach Strike Entertainment Reports here on Blog Talk Radio back in March 2011. As I prepared different topics and different shows, developing the concept, the show is still developing, I thought, oh, the topic of the Black Elite would be a good topic. And I think I mentioned it to you all, and I never did do the show. So here I am doing the show. And it's just hosting and producing an entertainment lifestyle show. Never, never lack topics or information to share, honestly, and very thankful for the guests and for the artists who allow me to play their music also. But this is from the Edwardian Promenade. The Edwardian Promenade considers itself the one and only source for all things Edwardian, devoted to the social, political history, the literature, the music, the fashion, the food, and the people of the world between the years 1880 and 1920, with a primary focus on life in Great Britain and the United States, featuring interviews, speech columns, book reviews, and discussions about the history behind period dramas such as Downton Abbey and Upstairs, Downstairs. The site hopes to raise interest and excitement in this neglected period in history. Okay, I know many of you was ready for me to refer to Wikipedia, which I will do so, but this article is very interesting, and it's called The Black Elite in America, and it reads like this. D.C. was both the capital of the United States. Washington, D.C. was both the capital of the United States, but also the Black Elite. It was in the city, which was built with the labor of thousands of African Americans, to which the beacon lights of the nation drew like moths to a flame. The colored elite, quote-unquote, of the capital centered around Howard University and the governmental post, and elites from other cities knew their status was assured if they were accepted by Washington's Black society. Much in the manner of white elites gaining recognition if they conquered Newport in New York society. However, the Black elite in other cities had their own unique stories to tell, which were tied inexplicably to the unique status of both enslaved blacks and free persons of color before the Civil War. Okay, the city of Baltimore. The city's proximity to Washington meant the elites of both cities mingled frequently, and society comprised natives of Baltimore and relations of Washington elites. Possessing one of the largest populations of African Americans before and after the Civil War, by the late 19th century, Baltimore's elite society emerged from the free. Families aligned with the city's civic, educational, and religious life for generations. Tying the Black elite together was the presence of George Murrah, who was born free in 1773 and lived until 1890. Those living in Baltimore were rather affluent as well, with a Black editor calculating the collective wealth of the elite at approximately $500,000, of which $75,000 was the work of John Locke, the owner of a hack and funeral business. Others gained their wealth from catering, barbering, hod carrying, brick making, and caulking. The wealth and relative leisure permitted vacations in the most popular spots were Harper's Ferry, Cape May, and Arundel on the Bay, later called Highland Beach, which was founded by Frederick Douglass' son Charles. Okay? Now, Charleston. Charleston was the most aristocratic city of the South for blacks and whites, and most, if not all, of the Black elites in the city had deep miscegenation, ties to the white aristocrats. During the antebellum era, they insisted in a happy plane below whites but above slaves, and indeed a number owned slaves themselves. They were the most exclusive of black elite circles and most considered Charleston society superior to any other. And, you know, I always talk about my mixed bloodline. I also, so some of us deny mixed bloodline, but, you know, you can't deny history. New Orleans, as of Charleston, a substantial portion of the black elite traced their lineage to free people of color. But they developed on a completely separate line than Charleston due to New Orleans' unique history. They enjoyed more privileges and were more respected by their white neighbors than any other city in the United States, and were considered at best quasi-citizens. This situation created a peculiar social system where men who elsewhere would be called colored because of their known African origins found their social business here as Creoles. Though Jim Crow put a crimp in their antebellum status, they nevertheless prided themselves on their education, their breeding, and wealth. Okay, on to the city of Philadelphia. The old families of the city contained three distinct components, native Philadelphians, the West Indian group, and fair complexion, freeborn Southerners who migrated there in the 18th and 19th centuries. Much of its wealth came from catering, and the most renowned and successful caterer was Robert Bogie. Now, if you live in these cities and you're a history buff and you're, you know, do not hesitate to contact me and say, hey, I want to talk more about the history of the black elite. You know, if you want to share your family history, please don't hesitate. Much of the wealth came from catering, and the most renowned successful caterer was Robert Bogie, whose patrons were esteemed white Philadelphians. Black elites here were closely identified with the abolitionist movement. Several benevolent, you can tell when I have to drink water, get tongue-tied. Various civic and religious enterprises, especially the prestigious Banneker Institute. Unlike the cities of the South, as you would see with other northern cities, the old elite quickly adapted to the influx of educated and skilled blacks who migrated north after Reconstruction, retaining their social prominence by entering the fields of law, medicine, education, and business. Okay, and here's New York. The black population in the city was small but elegant. They, like the old Philadelphia aristocracy, were made of native New Yorkers. Many of them traced their lineage to the days of Dutch settlement. Migrants to the city and West Indian immigrants, the elite group was divided into two, with the New York and Brooklyn factions battling for exclusiveness. Brooklyn won out. However, especially after the harsh racial climate, after the draft riots and influx of black Southerners after the Civil War, in 1895, the New York Times was moved to note that as soon as black New Yorkers amassed a comfortable fortune, they moved across the East to Brooklyn. Most were of the professional class, caterers, physicians, druggists, and so on, with much of their wealth derived from the real estate holdings. On the subject of Harlem, blacks did not begin to move to the area until the late 1900s, and most of the wealthy residents were not of the black elite. Okay, and then there's Boston. Elite black Bostonians were even more tied to abolitionist circles than in Philadelphia. Though they made up only 2% of the black population of the city, they counted attorneys, physicians, salaried employees, business proprietors, and literary and musical people as part of their small, exclusive circle. Their vocations brought them in contact with upper-class whites more often than lower-class blacks, with many taking part in the city's civic life. For example, George L. Ruffin, I wonder if he was related to Reggie. Reg Roughneck, last name is Ruffin. That's why one reason why I call him Roughneck. And that's his nickname, too. George L. Ruffin, a Harvard-educated lawyer, served as a legislator and city judge. Their circle was difficult to pierce, and Boston's black elite tended to associate with their white neighbors. They employed white servants, attended a few select churches, and vacationed together at Saratoga and Oak Bluff, Martha's Vineyard. Unlike any other city, black Brahmins were privileged enough to attend public events such as performances at the Boston Symphony, the opera, celebrations at Harvard, and races at Mystic Park, where a few of their horses won cups. And then there's the city of Chicago. The city was first settled by a black sable trader from Santo Domingo, but the black population didn't become identifiable until the 1840s and was made up of escaped slaves and free blacks from North and the South. Though Chicago has a reputation as a sinkhole of abolition, this was not the case for black Chicagoans, who lived beneath a yoke of legal and extra-legal discrimination. After the Civil War, blacks in Chicago battled discrimination in housing, employment, and the use of public conveyances. But a black elite nevertheless thrived. A unique feature of black Chicago was its professional tone. Society was led by physicians, dentists, druggists, and attorneys. Fannie Barrier Williams was certain that the black aristocracy in Chicago was better dressed, better housed, and better mannered than almost anywhere in the Wide West. Though education was paramount, wealthy black businessmen were able to join society by the 1920s. And then the West. Black communities on the West Coast remained small until World War I, where in 1900 the combined population of blacks in San Francisco, Seattle, Denver, and Los Angeles numbered, but 71-91 less than one-eighth of Philadelphia and less than one-fourth of Chicago. San Francisco was the hub of black elites in the West, and the key word of telling who you was the use of the word pioneer. Los Angeles' black population surpassed that of San Francisco after 1900 and was marked by the city's founding by blacks and mulattoes, as well as the vast numbers of professional blacks who migrated to Los Angeles after 1890. Seattle's black population was very small, 406 in 1900, but the wealthy residents were considerably well-to-do, the most comfortable being the Catons, publishers and editors of the Seattle Republican, who lived in a spacious house on Capitol Hill, the city's most exclusive neighborhood, and existed between the black and white worlds. Denver's population grew from 23 in 1866 to 4,000 in 1900. More than one wealthy black family gained prominence after the gold rush. And also, a lot of this information, check out Aristocrats of Color by, this is a recommended reading for the reading, by Willard Gatewood. Okay? So, wow. And then they recommend other books like African American Etiquette, American versus English Etiquette, Era of Progress and Promise. So I'm pinning this also, but again, this is an article I read a couple of years ago, and some of you probably, those of you that have been listening to the show since it premiered in March 2011, probably remember when I did say I was going to talk about that topic and bring it up, but it's bringing it up. We can continue talking on, and it's good to hear. I love to hear history, and so it'd be great some of you that live in the cities within this article would share your stories. Also, those of you that actually, hey, let me tell you this. This is what really went down. You know, so that's my family you're talking about. Love to hear those stories. And those are American stories. Nothing bad about the, you know, the black elite, that's a part of America, America's story. And we very seldom hear about black elite. I am a history buff. I don't recall seeing stories about the black elite in my history books, you know? But I'm going to take here's Wikipedia. The black elite in the South, and so what I'm saying is some people need to know, you know, need to know this. The black elite in the South of the United States started forming before the American Civil War among free blacks who managed to acquire property. Of the free people of color in North Carolina in the census from 1790, to 1810, 80% could be traced to African Americans free in Virginia during the colonial period. Free blacks migrated from Virginia to other states, as did their neighbors. Extensive research into colonial court records, wills, and deeds has demonstrated that most of those free families came from relationships or marriages between white women, servant or free, and black men, servant, free, or slave. Such relationships were part of the more fluid relationships among the working class before the boundaries of slavery hardened. During the 19th century, there were additional relationships between whites and blacks, not always of consensual nature. What is notorious is that white slave owners could take advantage of slave women because of their power. There were also slave holders who had caring relationships, common law marriages and real marriages with black slave women, and who sometimes freed them and their children. Some slave owners, holders did provide for their mixed-race children by ensuring they got education, although in other cases they were simply apprenticed to a trade or craft. Whatever property the father passed on to the child was important in helping that person get a start in life. The mulattoes patterned their lives after polite white society. In the South, because of their head start in acquiring property, the black elite began to exercise leadership roles within the church, black schools, and community. But as in any society, there were natural leaders who rose up from many classes. Catering services and other skilled employment were important because they had the white contacts needed to remain within status quo, quote unquote. The black elite has also enjoyed the benefits of living within the white neighborhoods, which further isolated them from the darker-skinned Negro, which caused them to blame them for the downward shifts in lifestyle choices. They felt that by emulating the white man, could social standing and class be achieved. The civil rights movement and affirmative action brought about many changes for the black elite. As the old elite died away, it made room for the new black elite to emerge. Within this realm are the educated, the entrepreneurs, actors, singers, and those who comprise the top 9% of the elite status. And you can check out Paul Hennick, Free African Americans in Virginia, North Carolina, Maryland, Delaware. There's references to Lawrence Benjamin, The Black Elite, published by Nelson Hall Publishers, 1991. Bart Landry, The New Black Middle Class, University of California Press. And then there's recommended further reading, such as Certain People, America's Black Elite, written by Stephen Birmingham. There's Black Bourgeois, Fresh Print. I had a lady on the bus now. Remember, you all, I need to buy a new car. So I ride public transportation. There was a woman who harassed me on the bus a few years ago, and she had the audacity to call me bourgeois one day. You know, I'm like, okay. But the Black Bourgeois, that's written by E. Franklin Frazier. And then there's The Aristocrats of Color, The Black Elite, 1880 to 1920, written by Willard B. Gatewood. Then there's Our Kind of People Inside America's Black Upper Class, published by HarperCollins Publishers, written by Lawrence Graham. Then there's Black Society, yay, published by Johnson Publishing Company. Love me some Johnson Publishing Company. Once was employed by Johnson Publishing Company, I was Fashion Fair Cosmetics. Black Society, that is written by Jerry Major. And then there's Educating the Black Elite, Probing the Black Elite's Role for the 21st Century and Black Elite in America. So those are just interesting readings and interesting studies within your research and study and so on. So just good conversation piece and topic piece. And we'll go on and talk more about the black elite, the middle class, and also those that are in dire strait need. But it's important for us, if we're going to talk about Americans and all Americans, it's important to be all-inclusive, honestly, you know. So I was just checking out a couple more, some more information that I might need to share with you. But that, I just want to touch base with you on that topic. And there are a lot of authors are writing books about it. Let's see. Let me check this book out right here called The Black Elite. Some of us, yeah, this is her book, and it's described as using in-depth interviews of high-achieving African-Americans who came of age prior to or before the Civil Rights Movement and those who grew up in the post-Civil Rights era. This book documents that race still matters in the 21st century, and again, is authored by Lawrence Benjamin. And then there are a few other books, like Dreaming No Small Dreams, by another one by Lois Benjamin, and Three Black Generations also by the same author. So very, very interesting topic, good topic to talk about. So again, happy Saint, as I say, Patrick, happy Veterans Day. I'm in the springtime. Oh, my God. No, we got to celebrate Christmas. Even though I'm looking forward to March, though, we got to celebrate Thanksgiving, Christmas. We're celebrating Veterans Day. We have Hanukkah. We have Kwanzaa. We have New Year's. I love summertime, but I love fall and winter. I love the holiday season. Amazing, amazing time of year. I'm headed back to the switchboard. That's why I'm ad-libbing. Shout out to Ebony Empress, my friends in the UK, Carl Perkins, who's so awesome, my friend in the UK, fellow thespian. He's a singer also. I don't know why Carl haven't called us the chat. my niece has returned. I thought she might have been staying in the UK for another week. Now, when I make my first trip to UK, I don't know. I don't know. I love America. I will come back, but I don't know. I probably wouldn't want to come back. My friends from the UK, they love it over here. Speaking of Fashion Fair, I was offered, when I was working with Fashion Fair, I remember when they offered for me to go to London for training. And I was like, well, no, that's okay. I'm okay. I'm in school. And I was getting ready to get my esthetician license then, and hopefully I'll be finally get my esthetician license and cosmetologist license still in the near future. I hope to get in school in January. I'm always talking about it, but I'm hoping. But they were like, we'll send you to London for training. I was like, that's okay. I'm working in school at Jackson State, you know, I graduated from Hines and stuff like that. But UK, you rock. Appreciate UK supporters and listeners in Japan and listeners in Australia. Australia sent me an invite to a party New Year's Eve. And listeners in Dubai and Thailand, what's up? Love you so much. Listeners right here in the city of Jackson, Minneapolis, Miami, Big D, what's up? It's Angels at LaBerry Dallas. And shouting them out. And they posted a picture over the weekend, and I, like, shared it on my page, and I was like, there is a heaven, and it's called LaBerry Dallas. So so I was just joking around, having fun with my Facebook friends and stuff. But shout out to my friends in California, those of you in New York that are still in the dark, praying for you, those of you that are volunteering and doing what you can to help others. And it's just amazing how people are just really reaching out and helping one another. We're praying for you. It's been raining here like all morning. I woke up around 1 and immediately I start hearing thundering and raining like crazy. You know? I'm like, man, I love rain though, but I don't want bad weather coming with the, you know, heavy winds and so on. Here's my friend, while I'm saying hello to my international friends. Here's my friend, my longtime Facebook friend. We've been friends since I joined Facebook. And it's Kresny, and he is in Istanbul, Turkey. And here's some music for him, from him, Heavy Funk. Thank you. awesome. Beautiful, huh? Wow, we've been a long time Facebook friends since I joined Facebook 2007-2008. Amazing, amazing talent. There's much more from where that come from. My friends always do that. They have breakdowns in their songs. I'm like, oh, okay, because I thought the song was ending a little too soon. But again, I thank you for your support and networking with me. And if you'd like to be a guest or a guest host or want me to mention your events, and it's the holiday season, I know you have a lot of community events and helping those that are less fortunate than you also. And you know what? You never know who's less fortunate than you. I hear people say that sometimes. You'd be surprised. Somebody might look like they have it all, but they might be lonely. They might be depressed. They might be suicidal. So you never know who has it less fortunate to you, you know, than you. Because it's not all about money. Sometimes it's about people emotionally needs and psychological needs and just, you know, wanting to feel loved, wanting to feel liked, wanting to feel like they have friends. You know, or just want to know that someone cares. So you never know. You'd be surprised. You know, because sometimes it's like, who's helping who? You know, that's why some people love to volunteer and love to help others, because it's about the gift of giving. Really, truly is. And so you never know. You know, you never know who you're helping. You really, regardless. If you just smile at someone, you never know. Who need that smile and need that embrace, pretty much so. But, again, you know, shout out to everyone that I network with. And I thank you, and I pray that our friendships, personal and professional, develop, you know. And those of us that go on different paths, best wishes to you and yours. And, you know, because that's life, really it is. And sending prayers and hugs to those loved ones that are in heaven. You know, because there are those that I do miss during this time of year, and I know I'm not alone. Many of you also have loved ones that you miss also during this time of year and every day. But gonna end it on a high-tempo song, one that I used to play often, and I have been playing often, and good to exercise from, and it's very motivating. And that's the Martin Smith Prince MPG Master Mix, okay? So, might add one more to the mix, but we'll go ahead and conclude the show for today. And tomorrow we'll continue talking about holiday season, job seeking, and holiday season, and companies that's hiring and not hiring, like we've been doing the past couple weeks, and other entertainment and lifestyle news stories. Those that we maybe didn't get to today, and also those that will be breaking tomorrow around this time. So, again, thank you. For some reason, I'm feeling like I'm forgetting to tell you all something really important. But send us prayers, and thank you for sending love vibes to me. My friends on the East Coast and Northeast, so we're still praying for you and those of you that are up there working and those that are volunteering your time. God bless you. We're praying for you also in doing such nice, good deeds for others. So thank you. And just thanks again for your support. Follow me on Pinterest.com/CultureShockBeth, KULTRESHOK. BTH, again, thank you to True God Immortal for being guests this past weekend on Weekend Edition. You can tweet True God at True God Immortal. Also, remember, you can pick up his latest LP, DOA, at Amazon and iTunes. And also check out his YouTube channel at True God Tube TV. And he and his friends every Wednesday here on Blog Talk Radio, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for blogtalkradio.com. Wrestling Heads. Big shout out to the BTR community, the founder and the staffers and my cohorts here, and, of course, the listening audience and the advertisers. Again, thank you, and God bless. It's been a blast. So have an amazing Veterans Day and an amazing week. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. Isn't it something? Thanksgiving is literally like a week and a half away. Wow. Okay. So, yeah, we'll talk about retail news and stories on Wednesday. Tomorrow, I mean, Wednesday, Matters of Heart. Thursday, we'll continue talking about preparing for the holidays, holiday season. Okay. So thank you, and God bless. Love to you and yours.
I gotta do this. I gotta do this.
you enjoyed that MPG workout. One more. One more for you. Keep you motivated.
Man, drop that shit for these fuck niggas. Man, drop that shit.
Please, don't.